Weekend Breakfast with Africa Malani.
Tashmia Ishmael Saville is the CEO of the YES Initiative, that is the Youth Employment Service Initiative. Joining me on the line from Johannesburg. Tashmia, very good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
What is the appropriate way for you of marking Youth Day? I was saying a rant a moment ago that, fitting into your old school uniform and sharing it on social media and think that's it, I don't think is the way that we should be making use of this day.
Yes, yes, I suppose the difference is that one Saturday is not really what we should be doing. It's not really an events-based program. It really is how do we, over time and in a very efficient manner, start to shift some of the structural things that that hold youth or marginalize youth from economic pathways. And I'm afraid a single day's event is not really the answer. I thought it does help to highlight. Radio shows like this help to highlight to many people who don't think about the numbers, don't think about the impact of the numbers on society and on young people's lives. So, you know, I suppose if you are going to use a day, the best for us, for YES and its purpose, the best use is to be able to highlight this to people.
Because unemployment is certainly a major, major issue that is facing young people at the moment. 38.2% of people aged between the ages of 15 and 34 are unemployed, and many of them have given up even trying to look for employment.
Yeah, I mean, so that would be, you know, if you look at our definitions of unemployment, that would be the definition. It's people who, you know, are home and haven't been able to find a job. We talk about a number of 6 million. The Youth Employment Service qualifies youth as between 18 and 34. So not school-going age, but 18 to 34. The actual number is 6 million. And we like to talk about the numbers because percentages sort of numb us. We talk a lot in percentages, and it doesn't give a sense of the texture and feel. But if we say that 10 years of full 580,000 matric classes for 10 years not being able to find a job, that number 6 million starts to have a granularity and texture that looks very different. And these are people who wake up every morning and have nowhere to go and nothing to do. This is difficult. When we think that the 6 million is our future, the country's productive future, is over a third of youth. These are the people who have to take over the economy, and they're not having any adult experiences or being transitioned into productive economic actors.
Do we have an appreciation of why we're finding ourselves in this situation, Tashmia? Because granted, I mean, the numbers are daunting, aren't they? You, as you say, 6 million, that's 10 years of matriculants, basically, not being able to participate in any way whatsoever. And I believe that the best way to really overcome any challenge is to do it a bite size at a time and saying, this is how I can influence this, and this is the change that I can realize. And I suppose, and that is the approach that we're supposed to be facing. But it's important for us to understand why we are where we are in order for us to come up with solutions that will obviously shift that margin around.
There's no doubt that, you know, legacy, our history has played a massive role in this. There are structural factors in South Africa. Most unemployed, 60% of our unemployed sit in townships. Townships, we know, you know, the schooling system doesn't operate the way it should. The distance to job, so the economic activity and the jobs are happening in highly concentrated areas. We have, you know, it's so multifaceted, this issue. There's no one answer. But what we do know is there are examples of countries who've been able to shift this in reasonable time. South Korea, Taiwan, you know, we were talking about East Asian economies, and they have shifted things in short time, not because they poured money into a tertiary education system, but because they spent money on education and quickly on-the-job training, getting people to have incomes fast, building their dignity, and breaking the cycle quite early. you know, we seem to have a fixation that we're going to fix this with tertiary education. And what the evidence is showing us is that the country's not going to grow with tertiary education, which is highly elitist. You know, 56% of the million youth going into the workforce each year don't have a matric certificate. This doesn't line them up for the massive $87 billion that we spend on higher education and training. So if you don't have a matric, we don't really have pathways for those people. And so we don't have an economic channel for them to fall into. And yet they're incredibly capable. So, you know, one of the big things that we can do is just give a person a job, help them to learn on the job a skill. And the research tells us that this is actually the best way to fund, to put money into the education system is in businesses.
And are we finding an appetite for this, Tashmia? Because I know Minister Blaine Zimande, when he was still Minister of Higher Education, he was trying to, I suppose, shift the paradigm in South Africa, because the ordinary thing to do is to pass matric and go to a university. And he was saying, no, universities should be for people, I suppose, with the aptitude and the capacity to appreciate and succeed the rigor that comes with reading a degree at a university level. But the majority of our matriculants should, as you say, be going into TVET colleges if they have the opportunity to do so. But better yet, go and do learnerships at institutions and corporations and organizations that have the capacity to absorb that. And there seems to be, societally at least anyway, still that need for my child to go to university because that's what I did, or that's what gives you status and job security. Is there an appetite, do you think, in South Africa for the model that you're proposing?
So the appetite is driven by aspirations, and aspirations are driven by messaging and what people are being told, you know, from a young age. This is what you should be doing. This is what matters. So the work to do here is to change the messaging, is to change the aspirations, and it can be done. So, you know, your assessment is very accurate, that most people think that I've only made it if I have a university degree. There's also I've only made it if I work for a big corporation. There is this idealization of the payslip. And if you look at society, you know, historically, the payslip is what opened your access to credit lines. The payslip is what gave you legitimacy and credibility. And so, you know, as a society, we need to make working with your hands sexy again and aspirational. We need to change the messaging that you can actually, we've seen some of the numbers that plumbers are making. You know, it's an incredible career to be a plumber. You can have a hugely successful and lucrative life with the you know, jobs, vocational and artisanal type jobs. And every time we have an interview around this, I have to talk about the Swiss. It's the apprenticeship model that we refer to, which is where from a young age, you sort of follow a passion that you have, you get into a business, and from a young age, you start learning to work with your hands. These are the apprenticeship programs. And in Switzerland, 70% of the country goes that route. Only 30% go to university. And nobody would argue the Swiss economy isn't successful. High GDP per capita, higher standards of living, you know, incredibly successful. And the country is not built via the university route. So, you know, trying to make that kind of data more available, giving people career advice on their choices. I think this also happens. There's no exposure to the sorts of pathways you can take. And there's a very limited understanding of what is success. And so part of that messaging has to be, can we give people choices around what these potential careers look like and what the training for them looks like?
You were set quite ambitious targets by the president when the initiative was launched in March, and you had already had 100 companies signing up. Where are we a couple of months into the initiative?
You know, we're not that far into the initiative. I think this is one of the bits we need to dispel. So when the president launched us, the gazette that gives companies BEE recognition hadn't been printed yet. And it had to go through a comments process with business and other players in market. So thankfully, 2 weeks ago, the comments process closed, and the DTA is now processing those Gazette comments. We are hoping for the Gazette to come through in early July, and we can do official registrations. I can still answer your question, though. The reception to YES is very positive. We've been having, so we have companies that have got very large targets. Over 3,000 jobs is a target for a company. And they're not putting these jobs into the actual company structures because our high-value YES target companies don't grow with jobs. That's one of the issues is the big companies in South Africa largely are jobless growth. They grow with efficiencies and algorithms. So we've been working very closely with them to place these jobs into communities, in SMMEs and all new SMMEs. So we're working with a group of companies around the Mpumalanga area and some of the communities around the Kruger Park to build ecosystems that generate jobs or value chains that generate jobs. So that's been a large part of the work is an economics piece around how do we create new jobs? Because your point around it being an ambitious target, there are not a million jobs available. We actually have to build them. And so this is what we've been working on with companies. It's not a big company program. It's just what we're doing in this early phase. We would love all South Africans. Imagine if every business in the country, every hairdresser, every butcher, baker, candlestick maker, every doctor, every accountant says, I will give one young person a chance to learn a skill. I will bring them into my business and I'll give them a year to incubate, to test their talents and abilities, and to allow them to leave with a certificate that says, this person was an asset to me, and just set them up to be able to advance into the economy on their own. Then the number doesn't look so big. If we have a collaborative, joint South African approach to saying, this young person is more important than my vote in influencing the future of the country, can I give them a chance? And everybody's got some knowledge to pass on if you're running a business.
Tashmi, I know that you'll be seeing the president a little bit later today as you participate in the walk that he'll be heading up on the Hector Peterson Memorial Route. There'll be various dignitaries, obviously, there joining him. And I imagine if you whisper that into his ear, he'll be most pleased. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Happy Youth Day to you once again. Tashmia Ishmael Seville, the CEO of the YES Initiative. That's the Youth Employment Service Initiative that, as you heard, is seeking to create a million jobs in opportunities, apprenticeships for young people who are in desperate need of employment.